evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanz on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, January 12, 2021. Four police officers were killed by attackers in Lake State.
They attacked the police vehicle and killed four from them. Nine policemen are wounded. More wounded police are still missing.
And authorities in Jonglei State are pursuing criminals who killed a baby and abducted two other children.
They met with Katoredes abducted three children and drove them to the bush.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Lake State say cattle raiders suspected to be from Rumbek East County shot and killed four police officers in Gar village of Aluakluak Payam. Mabor Makwach, the Lake State police spokesperson, says the cattle raiders ambushed a pickup truck carrying police officers who were pursuing the raiders in a bid to rescue stolen cattle. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Eyewitness Malek Makir says the cattle raiders, who he believes came from the area of Rumbek East County, stole more than 1,000 head of cattle. Makir says the raiders ambushed the police who were traveling in a pickup truck and opened fire.
They attacked the police vehicle and killed four from them. Nine policemen are wounded. More wounded police are still missing. I believe they are still in the bush. The suspected raiders are believed to be from Paloj Payam of Rumbek East County. The two cattle and goats.
Ngor Mading, another resident of Gar Boma, where the attack took place, also suspects the attackers came from Rumbek East County because gunmen who have attacked them in the past have come from the same area. Mading says when police gave chase, the attackers ambushed them and shot out the tires of officers' Land Cruiser. He says the raiders then shot at the police, killing some of them and forcing others to run for cover in the bush.
These raiders are suspected to be a guard clan of Rumbek East County. They are the one who went raid the cattle from one of the cattle camp in Yerul. So when the police went to recover the stolen cow, they shoot the police, killing four and scattered the rest in the bush. Yes, there were very many.
Captain Elijah Mabor Makwaj, the Lake State Police spokesperson, says the Land Cruiser was carrying 18 policemen when it was ambushed.
We lost three soldiers and seven others wounded at a place called Logichul. This Logichul is located to Gar Difang County. These force were sent yesterday night to go and intervene for the cattle raiding, which has been reported at the side of Yerul.
Makwaj urged armed youth to desist from attacking members of security forces, saying they are not the enemy.
I want to advise our people, our armed youth, telling them that please, you better to respect your government. This, your own government, is not against you, is not against anybody. Your government is here to protect you, is here because of you.
This is not the first time police were killed by armed civilian in the area. Last year, armed civilian attacked a Land Cruiser carrying the military, killing nine soldiers in Yerul West County. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek, Lake State.
Authorities in Jonglei State have condemned the killing of an eight-month-old baby and the abduction of two other children in Bor County. The Jonglei State Police spokesperson says the incident took place in Makol Chwai over the weekend. Jonglei State authorities blame suspected armed criminals from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area for abducting children. The human rights officer with the United Nations mission in South Sudan confirms the incident. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Jonglei State Police spokesman John Mahun Ngang says armed criminals carried out the attack in Bor County's Makol Chwai Boma after the group met a woman who was traveling with her three children. Mahut says the attackers also abducted the children's mother, but later freed her unharmed.
The woman was started from Pagok going to Makol Chwai Boma at by the Payam between Makolchwe and Togok, they met with Katoredes, armed Katoredes. The Katoredes abducted three children and drove them to the bush. So they killed the girl child and took two boys. They moved with them up to midnight, and they released the mother and they took with them two children.
Mahut says the police were not able to track down the abductors.
The challenges are more because there is no road to pursue them. Roads are not there, and all the bushes are sown, bushes. The police could not move inside the bush while it is sown.
Jonglei State Acting Secretary General Duom Kwol says authorities suspect the gunmen came from the neighboring Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
This was reported by executive director on the ground. Yeah, so it was reported to me, and I think the people over there, they could not, they were unable to rescue them. They are coming from Greater Ibor Administrative Area. There is prevalence of insecurity in some pockets of the surrounding areas of our town now. What I can say is that can tell the people to take care of themselves.
Peter Ajak, the Greater Pibor Administrative Area Coordinator, says authorities in Greater Pibor are committed to restoring peace in Greater Jonglei through ongoing peace initiatives, such as rallies. Ajak urges Jonglei state authorities to stop pointing fingers at their neighbors in Greater Pibor, saying criminals are everywhere.
When we say people, they are waiting peace to come, you don't know either the other criminal will be stealing out, going to making crime somewhere. You cannot know. Not in our area alone. Even everywhere. People, they are in peace. But there is a wrong element within the community who is always committed crime somewhere. But that one, we cannot talk about it.
Ajak urges authorities in Jonglei and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area to work together and find effective ways to end the cycle of violence in the region. Alfred Zulu, the human rights officer at the United Nations Mission in South Sudan field office in Bor, condemned the killing and abductions and called on state authorities to beef up security.
The authorities in Jonglei State should improve the security of persons, protection of life, and they should ensure that all those persons who are responsible for these acts of atrocities and killing are brought to book. They are held accountable. So the state government, the SSPDF, and the police, and other agencies must work hand in hand in ensuring that they round up all persons that are threatening life, abducting children, killing persons, or even sometimes sexually abusing girl children.
Zulu says Jonglei state citizens have the right to live in peace and tranquility, since the party signed a revitalized peace agreement in 2018. Last week, gunmen abducted at least 10 women who were later rescued in Duke County. In June last year, President Salva Kiir formed a special committee to come up with recommendations to end the recurring violence, such as awareness campaigns and direct meeting between different community leaders and citizens. Most of those ideas were implemented, but the attackers continue unabated. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
From Jonglei, we move to Kampala, where Facebook has shut down several accounts of the network in Uganda linked to the country's Ministry of Information. The social media company accuses the network of using fake accounts to promote the ruling party and the president. For VOA News, Alima Athumani reports from Kampala.
The Facebook accounts shut down were allegedly linked to the Citizens Interaction Center at the Ministry of Information and Communications Technology. In a statement, Facebook accuses the account holders of using fake and duplicate accounts to manage pages, comment on other people's content, impersonate users, and reshare posts in groups to make them appear more popular than they were. Duncan Abigaba, the deputy head of the center, says their accounts were targeted because of their support for Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni and the ruling National Resistance Movement, or NRM. Abigaba says the action by Facebook is unfair since members of the opposition National Unity Platform Party, led by singer-turned-politician Bobi Wine, have been using social media to promote Wine's presidential candidacy.
So NRM had tried and sell our candidate as well in the social media space. So by selling the candidate, it means you have to employ different tactics, including you put out content, and this content, you must share it in different groups for it to have as much reach as possible.
The Uganda Communications Commission wrote to Facebook and Twitter late last year, demanding it shut down several accounts it said were being used wrongly by members of the opposition National Unity Platform. Government spokesman Ofwono Opondo says the commission received a response from Facebook saying it would investigate the claims. But instead, says Opondo, without any due process, accounts of NRM supporters have been shut down.
They have not told us the nature of the complaint. They have not written even to say we are going to switch you off. And so it is a double standard. And that ties very, very well with what our intelligence is telling us, that some of the opposition is working with foreign interests.
The Ugandan government is already disabling some social media platforms. Currently, unless one is using a virtual private network, videos on Facebook cannot be played. The Uganda Communications Commission has also ordered app stores to block over 100 virtual private networks being used by citizens to bypass the blockage. Joel Senyonyi, the National Unity Platform spokesperson, denies the party has a hand in the account shutdowns.
We actually wish we had a hand in it. We'd actually love to see all the government accounts blocked because they're using them to justify all the ills that are happening. You know, that people get killed and then you see government officials and regime apologists and functionaries go on social media and then they justify the killing of people and so on.
Ugandans go to the polls Thursday with Museveni seeking to extend his 34-year run as president. Bobi Wine has called off his final campaign appearances due to multiple arrests and police breaking up his rallies. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies gives a strong warning about COVID-19. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do when you are in a bad mood?
I usually would move away from the environment of the agitation and then get a quiet place and pray. Usually when I'm done praying, the agitation and the stress, I get some amount of relief.
Sometimes I decide to sleep and maybe read a novel that can make my mind come like back to normal. Yeah, that's what I normally do.
I rather stay alone and I listen to music, uplifting music, music that has good lyrics that would uplift my spirit.
Okay, when I'm in the bad mood, I sometimes play video games just to make me feel happy.
Actually, I call mom, I talk to her, tell her what's disturbing me, she advises me, then I stay down there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our Tuesday health segment, we take a look at the struggle to control the spread of coronavirus. The International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies warns COVID-19 vaccine should not calm people into a false sense of complacency. It says vaccine alone will not end the pandemic. People must remain vigilant and continue to practice public health measures. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
COVID-19 vaccines are being rolled out in a number of countries around the world, giving rise to hopes that the pandemic will soon come to an end. The International Red Cross Federation's Director of Health, Emmanuel Capobianco, views vaccines as an important tool to stop this dreaded disease in its tracks. He tells VOA immunization drives are a matter of life and death, and that countries which have the vaccine must increase the speed and scale of inoculations.
We need to vaccinate more and more and more people and as fast as we can. For those countries that don't have the vaccine, it's important that there is a push from the international community to bring those vaccines in as fast as possible. While this happens, though, and we cannot wait for the silver bullet to arrive, and we need to take the precautions that can save lives.
He says these include basic preventive measures such as physical distancing, wearing masks, isolating when sick, and going into quarantine when coming in contact with an infected person. Capobianco says these actions are particularly important now as the epidemic is infecting and killing people at a rate not seen since the beginning of the crisis a year ago. He notes global cases are averaging 800,000 a day, including 15,000 deaths. He says these spikes appear in part to be driven by the emergence of two new COVID-19 variants in Britain and South Africa. He says the variants are more contagious than COVID-19 and more people are getting infected. Fortunately, he notes, the new strains do not appear to decrease the effectiveness of the vaccines. He says the new variants have now spread to more than 40 other countries, including in Africa.
That is something that will need to be watched very, very closely because somehow Africa has been affected less than many had predicted by this pandemic so far, and we would hope that Africa could still see lower numbers of cases and deaths, but the indication is that numbers are increasing.
Capobianco says everyone should look forward to being vaccinated against COVID in the near future. In the meantime, he urges people to remain vigilant and protect themselves. He warns the entire world remains at risk from this disease until all countries receive the vaccines in a fair and equitable manner. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And here in the United States, President Donald Trump looks to become the first president in the United States history to face second article of impeachment during his term in a Democrat-led effort to remove him from office. International Edition's Steve Miller gets the details from VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson.
Speaker Pelosi laid out in a letter late Sunday night something of a schedule for this week, since events are so unprecedented and they're moving very quickly. She laid out a step-by-step process that the U.S. House is going to be taking this week to condemn President Trump for what they say is inciting an insurrection last week on Capitol Hill with his supporters storming the Capitol. Now, what Pelosi is going to be doing is first she's going to be bringing up a resolution, H.R. 21, that is going to be asking Vice President Pence and a majority of cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment, which in short is basically saying that the president is incapacitated and the vice president is going to temporarily take over for him. So basically, Pelosi is saying is that if Pence and the majority of the cabinet do not invoke the 25th Amendment within the next 24 hours, then the House will move forward with a vote on one article of impeachment.
Now, Catherine, I also understand that Speaker Pelosi has brought up something called the 14th Amendment. What can you tell us about that?
Actually, Speaker Pelosi brought that up in her letter to members on Sunday night. She said that many House members had been talking about the 14th Amendment, Section 3, this option of saying that anybody who had incited insurrection or had somehow behaved disloyal to the United States could be removed from office and kept from ever seeking federal office again. That is definitely an option. And I think that's something that House Democrats might be keeping in their back pocket just because it's not as dramatic as impeachment. They want to respond to these unprecedented events on Capitol Hill in a major way that shows that how deeply they felt what happened last week.
Still on U.S. politics, Democrats and some Republicans are calling for President Trump to resign or be removed from office. The demand follows January 6th storming of the Capitol Hill during a joint session of Congress to certify the results of 2020 election. Now, many people are asking, what are the broader implications for American democracy and the challenges facing a divided Republican Party? Augusta University political science professor Craig Albert provides analysis to International Edition's Steve Miller.
You know, the GOP, since the nomination of then-candidate Trump, has been going through an identity crisis, trying to understand whether they should coalesce the party or solidify the party around Donald Trump, or if the party was something distinct and that Trump was just an anomaly in the party. So this is something the Republican Party has been dealing with for a long time. And I think that now they're being forced to deal with this. Like, is this the party of Trump and going to continue with Trump rhetoric and Trump policy and Trump politics moving forward? Or is it going to reinvestigate itself and return to some sense of the establishment idea of the Republican Party? So this is something that I think now, where they have refused to have done so in the past, Republicans are having to look at this. They're having to investigate who they are and who they want to be, not just as a political party, but as a voice for Americans moving forward. So they are certainly in an existential identity crisis as of now.
So let's step back and take a look at the broader picture. What does this mean for American democracy moving forward?
Well, for funding, we know that most companies are suspending their fundraising or donations to any PAC that's related to anybody that has anything to do with the insurrection on January 6th or moving forward that might have some ideas of wanting to challenge the certification of the vote. So that's one aspect, is that we know that fundraising, at least for those associated with the Republicans, is going to take a huge hit. Never mind what might happen for marketing or advertising on different platforms, if candidates will be able to even advertise on different platforms moving forward that were associated with this or that voted against certification of the Electoral College. For the broader picture of American democracy moving forward, I can't emphasize enough that the United States has taken a hit. It took its first hit by people saying that there was fraud committed for the election, which as a political scientist, I'm trying to look at this objectively. And if there was fraud, as a political scientist, I want to be the first to put it out there so that people can understand it and fix it. That has not happened. There's no evidence of it. It doesn't exist. This is politicking for the sake of staying in power and getting reelected. And it goes against the American institutions and the Constitution. It just doesn't make sense. It hurts us moving forward. So that's a serious, you know, America took a hit because of this idea, and that so many people bought into the idea, because of course they're going to believe the president, that the president has information saying that it was more fraudulent than in actuality where it wasn't fraudulent. So that's one point. The second point for the insurrection on January 6th, that's going to be a Pandora's box, because people were assured that nothing like that could ever happen, even from a security personnel standpoint in the United States Capitol. And now that cat is out of the bag. Now it's understood that something can happen. And so there are bad forces in the United States seeking to take advantage of that, and they're already planning that. So this sets a precedent that people that want, that whose elections didn't go their way, that they can use armed insurrection or forced rebellion to get what they want. And that is not the way the American system is supposed to operate. We're supposed to be institutionally understood. And if you don't like the way an election happened, you only have to wait two more years to make some type of change peacefully to go your way. So this is an anxiety-ridden time for everybody in America, including political scientists, because it's something that perhaps we should have been more open to. We just never thought would happen here, and we didn't study it, and we didn't try to analyze events that could happen here. We do that in other countries, but now we're having to look at ourselves and look at the discipline and investigate what are further things that could happen here.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with R. Kelly and his song, "The Storm Is Over."
I was in a tunnel and couldn't see the light. And whenever I'd look up, I couldn't see the sky. Sometimes when I'm standing, it seems like I've been walking for miles. And my heart could be crying, dead in the middle of a smile. But then I climbed the hills and saw the mountains. I hollered help cause I was lost. Then I felt the strong wind. Heard a small voice saying the storm is over.
The storm is over now.
I can see the sunshine
somewhere beyond the clouds.
I feel heaven, yeah.
Heaven is over me.
Come on and set me free. Now in the midst of my battle, all hope was gone. Downtown in a rush crowd and felt all alone. And every now and then I felt like I would lose my mind. I've been racing for years and still no finish line. But then I climbed the hills and saw the mountains. I hollered help cause I was lost. Then I felt the strong wind. And then a small voice saying the storm is over.
Storm is over now.
I can see the sunshine
somewhere beyond the clouds.
I can feel heaven.
Heaven is over.
Oh, come on and set me free. Oh, somehow my beginning stepped right in. Then faith became my friend. And now I can begin all the voices of a wind. When it's
we've been listening to R. Kelly with the song, "The Storm Is Over." I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.